Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Hi. And according to Amazon, everybody's doing it. E-books are moving in on physical books. E-readers seem to be the next big thing. It seems like every day there's new news on the e-book revolution. Amazon announced that their e-book sales outpaced their hardcover and paperback sales for the last quarter. They're reportedly developing a new e-reader gadget. Meanwhile, the iPad is still flying off the shelves, just as Apple is being investigated in two states for potential violations of antitrust laws related to e-books. So let's talk about the future of publishing and reading in the new world of digital books. This is the second installment of a month-long series on books and the publishing industry with Michael Cater, the founder of Publishers Marketplace, and the widely read daily newsletter for the publishing industry, Publishers Lunch. He'll join us each Thursday in August at this time. Hi, Michael. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi there. Pleasure to be back with you.
So on July 20th, Amazon announced that over the last 3 months, they sold, and let me be clear about this because I think I've been not as clear as I should have been.
Yeah.
They sold more e-books than hardcovers, not
correct.
Hardcovers and paperbacks combined, so not all bound books. I had that wrong before, but more e-books than hardcovers. They say digital sales will surpass paperback ones as well in the next 9 to 12 months. So how much is the balance of power shifting toward e-books?
Well, what's happened is Amazon is clearly selling a lot of e-books, and they keep coming up with different vague but encouraging measures to tell us we're selling more e-books than ever before without actually telling us how many e-books they're selling. It's been a great business for them. People should remember that Amazon itself is 10-12% of the book business. So the fact that Amazon is selling a lot of e-books and have dedicated their homepage to doing so means that it's a great business for Amazon, and it's a business everyone else has to pay attention to, but it doesn't mean that print books are going away quite as quickly as one might get the impression of from the statistics that they keep getting attention for. Does that make sense?
Yes. Could this mean fewer total books? Will our options shrink?
Our options are only going to go up. The one thing we're sure of is there are going to be more books than ever before. Some are going to be in print. Some are going to be an e-book. Some are going to come directly from authors and people who want to be authors. Some are going to come from traditional companies. Some are going to come from the 80,000 companies that now consider themselves publishers. It's so easy to get to market now that the one thing readers will have, whether they want it or not, is much more choice.
What do you think about the way we buy books? I know you talked last week when I was away about physical bookstores where they allow you to browse, which is much harder in the ebook world. You have to rely on recommendations from the Amazon algorithm, which says you might like. If you bought this, you might also like. Does the consumer become a different animal along with the rise of the ebook?
I think certainly in the business, people are hearing that consumers are getting confused by a lot of the choices before them. In part, it's exciting because you can find and read almost anything. But in some respects, it does make it harder to know whom or what to trust and what to read next. One thing we've seen with e-books is when people experiment with price, it sometimes makes readers more willing to experiment with authors or genres they may not have read before. So I think there are a lot of forces all trying to get readers' attention. And it's going to take some time to see which things have lasting impact on readers and whether or not it's simply quality writing and quality products still winning out.
And listeners, we have a few minutes for phone calls on this, and this is hardly the first conversation we've had on this show about ebooks, but let's keep taking your temperature on this. What's the mix for you if you've had any of the ebook readers now, the iPad or the Kindle or whatever you have, for a while? Do you find that this is completely replacing bound books in your life? Do you find that you use old-fashioned books for some things, digital books for other things? 212-433-WNYC. How is this actually working for you? 212-433-9692 from Michael Cater from Publishers Marketplace and Publishers Lunch. 212-433-9692. 9-2. And there was news this week, and Michael, I know you heard this, that Dorchester Publishing, the self-described home of leisure books and love spell, announced that they're going to go to an ebook first model and print physical books only on an on-demand basis. Is that more about the fact that publisher itself is having a lot of financial difficulties and ebooks are their life raft, or does that represent something larger?
In this case, you're correct. It is seen as an outgrowth of what's been a very difficult financial time for Dorchester for some time. They sold off some of their biggest properties recently to their distributor. So this is seen within the business as a retrenchment mode for them. At the same time, today the New York Times says that Pete Hamill will be publishing a new short book with Little Brown that will appear as an ebook only first. So
why would they do that? Why would they do that in the case of an established author like Pete Hamill?
I think they're finding that it brings attention. They got a New York Times page, you know, a highlighted article in the New York Times. It's a short book. It's going to be 40 to 50,000 words. So it's in that gray area where you wonder, is it a really long magazine article, which is not commercial, or is it a short book, and how can we make that commercial? They still have the option of putting it in print later. We've been seeing experiments with these e-only books. So far, none of them have yet proved that there's a dramatic model there. But clearly it's changing times, and you can deliver things to a larger audience that way. So I'm sure we're going to see more experiments there.
Nancy on our Facebook page writes, I've already told my husband I want a Kindle for Christmas. I've resisted the ebook for a long time. I'm very sentimental about my books. But practically speaking, the ebook makes sense in so many ways. Greener, cheaper, running out of space on my bookshelves. It's the way of the future, but I do feel melancholy about, quote, losing my books. And Aaron on Facebook says, people cannot platonically approach me in a cafe because of the book I'm reading if I use an ebook, so I will never make the switch. Hey, how do you like that piece of plastic? Just doesn't have the potential innocence of, I really loved Wallace's Infinite Jest. So what do you say to either of those writers?
There's certainly a lot of social factors at work. I think the interesting thing for all those people making out their Christmas lists already, another one of the facts that Amazon released recently is that 20% of their Kindle sales went to people who don't even own a device. So people who are using the Kindle app on iPad, on iPod, on a cell phone, on a BlackBerry, within the next couple of months, we don't know exactly when, Google Editions is going to launch a very large-scale ebook program that will not require any device and will work on all kinds of devices. So in this first phase, you had to have one of these dedicated readers mm-hmm. to get in on the ebook action. And pretty soon we're going to be in a world where a lot of people are going to realize they can get ebooks on almost any device they want, so they can decide whether they like an ebook reader and want to make that investment, or whether they want to try it out on a cell phone but still keep buying print books for the most part.
And when Nancy says, I've already told my husband I want a Kindle for Christmas, Amazon is supposedly making a new gadget. Is there a Kindle 2 in the works?
They have a lab that's working on all kinds of prototype gadgets. What they mostly have is Kindle 3 ready to come out, although already back ordered because they need to get the supply chain up to speed with the orders. They've said Kindle 3 is all they're talking about for now, so we don't really know what the pace of new machines is going to be.
From our comments page, the 18-hour flight, New York to Singapore, and on to a dive vacation with strict limitations for cabin baggage were the deciding factors to go electronic. I still like ink and paper, but it is getting more difficult to resist the ebook. My wife and I share our purchases. Jill in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jill.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your mix?
Well, I read on my iTouch. I don't actually own a Kindle or anything like that. I probably buy half and half at this point. I'm in a book group, and I often wait till the last second to buy the book to read it. So being able to buy it from my couch and download it is much easier than having to troop to Barnes & Noble to pick up a book. So it's very convenient for me.
So if you read on the iTouch, I guess that really raises the question of how big a screen do you actually need in order for a device to be a reader?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I much prefer to read on print. I don't like to read on the small screen, but it's what I have. And one thing I can't stand actually about reading on screen is you don't really realize how far you are into a book. So I've read books where I click to the next page and there is no next page. I'm shocked.
What? That was the end, Jill?
Yeah, exactly. So With a book, you know how much you got left to go. Yeah. So I do like that about books.
Thank you very much. Mark in Maplewood, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mark.
Hi there. No, I purchased my first ebook just a week or so ago. I don't even have a Kindle. I use their application for PC because a friend of mine publishes novel on Amazon, Phil Chen, Dark Star. And I started reading it there. And I think that the ebook certainly will expand the realm of possibilities for what will be out there for us to read. That having been said, when you folks on WNYC talk about an interesting book, I usually try to get the actual hard version to hold in my hand ordered through Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Mark in Maplewood, complete with a product placement for his friend's book. Mark, thank you very much. So we're hearing, Michael, some of the ambivalence, some of the mixed uses, and I guess the iTouch owner, you know, that's another example of how the dedicated reader as a separate device may be just a passing phase.
Exactly, and I think she made a good point, which is the printed book is a wonderful device. It comes with the device and the content all in one. People know how to use it. It works very well. But as the electronic reading options get cheaper and more easily obtainable, you can use it on your PC. You don't need a device. Clearly, more people are going to experiment and decide what's the right mix for them. Some people are going to convert 100%. Some people are going to read electronically only on the subway or when they travel. I think for the industry, what's exciting is that people are thinking about all the different ways and places they'd like to read and all the different ways and places they can obtain books, which is somewhat miraculous given the society we live in these days.
Before we run out of time, what does this mean for writers? Are publishers willing to take more of a chance on authors? Will it be good for small indie or self-publishers?
As we were saying before, it gives writers and everyone more opportunities to publish. If you're in it from the corporate side, it conceivably makes it harder to make money. So there's all kinds of shakeouts of the landscape right now to figure out whether this means authors are going to get more money or simply more avenues to readers. They may get more of the direct proceeds off of smaller prices. It's going to take a long time to figure out who wins and loses economically as the whole business changes to a much leaner direct delivery model.
William from Manhattan on our comments page comes full circle. Books and magazines are a welcome relief from my online life. And we leave it there for today with Michael Cater, the founder of Publishers Marketplace and the widely read daily newsletter for the publishing industry, Publishers Lunch. He will be back with us each Thursday in August at this time. And I know next week we're going to talk about the college book market. Do you want to give us a quick 10-second preview? Are all college students going to be reading all their textbooks on iPads in 2 years?
They're probably not reading on iPads yet, but they've got lots of great online ways of saving money by getting used textbooks and just bringing down their textbook bills, which is what they want to do first and foremost, which will eventually give way to electronic text.
Michael Cater, thanks a lot. Talk to you more about that next week.
Great.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.